Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burton, and thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And as always, I need to remind you, God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so let me start our time this way. Did you know that, little history lesson, okay? Louis XIV, do you know that he reigned and ruled over France for some 72 years? Is that insane? He took to the throne at the age of 4 years old. I don't know how you do that, but he did, okay? And get this, Louis XIV, he was both ambitious and arrogant. Like, if you give yourself the title Louis the Great, you got to be kind of full of yourself. But he was unbelievably ambitious, and he wound up consolidating power in the monarchy, and he had war after war, and he was pushing out the boundaries and the power of France. And as well, he was very into culture. And really, if you've ever been to France, and you can see kind of Versailles and all the ornate paintings and architecture and whatnot, that's Louis XIV. He did that, all these building projects and whatnot. And listen, through all his wars and rebuilding projects, he almost bankrupted the nation, okay? But so anyways, at the just before Louis died, he had a will made up and very distinct details of what was to take place at his funeral. And so he was buried in Notre Dame. And there, the lighting had to be a certain way. The lights had to be dim or almost out. And there would be one bright light, an enormous candle that was hovering over his casket. His casket was a golden casket. So the light from the candle would reflect off to display all his glory. And one bishop was tasked with eulogizing Louis XIV. His name was Bishop Maslin, and Bishop Maslin, as he approached up to the podium to eulogize Louis the Great, he, as the candle was blazing before him, Bishop Maslin licked his fingers, extinguished the light on the candle, and he began his talk like this: "Only God is great. Only God is great." And I say that because there was another great king, King Jesus, and they tried to snuff out his life as they hung him on a cross. But 3 days later, though the light had gone out, the light of the world rose again on the third day. And he relit something in the souls of men that continue to burn and fan into a flame to this day. If you remember, after the resurrection, Jesus assembled his disciples together, and he said these words: "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations." And so he didn't say some power and authority. He says all power and authority has been given to me, and now I'm giving it to you. Go and make disciples of the nations. And so you have a great commission and a mission for your life. God has a purpose and a destiny for you, and he's given you everything you need to do all you've called him to do. God has done his part and gone all in. And so here's the question that I want us to answer today. Are you going to go all in with God? And so if you're going to fulfill the purpose and the destiny, the mission that God has for your life, you're going to need these three things. You're going to need to go all in, to go all out, and to put it all on Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of where we're headed here today. And so point number one is that in the question you have to ask yourself, are you going all in with God? Like, he's already given everything he has for you, but will you go all in with him? Second Chronicles 16:9 says this: "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Right? Did you catch that? So God wants to show himself strong in the lives of men and women that are fully, that they're all in and committed to Jesus. So I've shared this story a billion times. Let's go a billion one. And it's the story of Annie Duke. And Annie Duke, as a little girl, she had a very dysfunctional home and household. Her daddy was a professor and an intellectual, and he was very driven with his work. But Annie knew she could always get time with her daddy if she asked to play a card game. And so her father wouldn't play like Go Fish and little kid games. He played gin and spades and things like that with her. And get this, he would never let her win. He would never let her win. And so if I can then show you, her mother was a non-functioning alcoholic, that she would sit at the kitchen table and she'd play solitaire as she drank her gin. But Annie could find some comfort or some nearness with her mom when she would sit at the table and play solitaire next to her mom, right? And so now fast forward several years from there, Annie's blowing and going. She's graduated from Columbia University, and she's getting her dream internship. And the night before she was to get her internship, she has a nervous breakdown. She doesn't know how or why. She has to be hospitalized. And after several days, she's released from the hospital. And her brother, who just happened to be a professional poker player, invited her out to Vegas where she could kind of recover and do stuff. And so Annie was there, and she's a little bit bored. So she decides to go take in a local poker game. And is there, she gets in this dusty, kind of dark and dreary poker room. She goes in, she sits at the table, and she says these words. She felt like she was home. She was home. See, cards had been such a part of her dysfunctional family life. She suddenly felt home there. And now she's got a kind of the brains and the academia and as well the knowledge of cards. And so she's playing, and she's actually pretty good. And she starts winning these poker tournaments until fast forward to 2004. ESPN is going to televise the World Series of Poker, the Tournament of Champions. And then they were going to get the top 10 poker players on the planet, put them together and televise it. But here's the thing. They figured they needed a woman that maybe kind of would boost ratings for the show. And so they asked Annie Duke to go be one of the 10 players in the World Series of Poker. And so she sits at the table, and you can imagine she feels very insecure, you know, about being there. But she kind of starts making it through hand after hand after hand, and people are being eliminated left, right, and center. And to get this, she finds herself one of the three remaining finalists in the World Series of Poker, one of which is her brother. And so Annie, as just irony would have it, she winds up knocking out her brother, and that leaves two people, Annie Duke and Phil Hellmuth. He's the bad boy of poker. The man stands 6'5". He wears dark sunglasses, and when he peers across the table at you, it's like he can look through you, right? And so that's who she's gambling with. And Hellmuth doesn't have any respect for her as a player. And as they play the hands, they're giving their whole cards. Annie has a king 10. Hellmuth's got a 10-8. And so as they flop the first one, Hellmuth bets, and Annie calls. Second flop happens, and Hellmuth bets, Annie calls. Third time the flip, Hellmuth bets, and Annie not only calls the bet, but she pushes all her chips in and goes all in. Phil Hellmuth's beside himself. He doesn't know what to do because he has to make a decision. Who has better cards? And I tell you that story to say this. You have to make a decision. Who has better cards? This world or the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to make that decision. And so in Genesis chapter 12, God comes to a man by the name of Abraham, and God goes all in with Abraham. He says, Abram, he says, I choose you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. And through you, I'm going to bless the world. And so God goes all in with this man, Abraham. But then the question becomes this, is would Abraham go all in with Almighty God? And so we're going to get that answer in Genesis chapter 22, that God asks Abraham, Abram, I want you to give the son that I've given to you, give him back to me. I want you to offer up your son, your beloved son, Isaac. Abraham doesn't, he's confused, doesn't understand really what God's doing, but he knows this, that God is good. And if God has to, he could raise him from the dead. And so Isaac and Abraham, they go up on Mount Moriah. And it was there that Abraham prepares Isaac. For the record, side note, many theologians, they believe that Isaac's between the age of 18 to 30, all right? So Abraham's well over 100 years old. And so here's what you need to know, that Isaac and Abraham were in lockstep agreement. And so as Abraham's about to sacrifice his son, God says, stop. And there he shows them a ram in the thicket. And he says, give a substitute. Let this ram be a substitute for your son whom you love. And is there that animal is sacrificed. And in that moment, God reveals himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. But now if I could fast forward several thousands of years from that moment, once again on Mount Moriah, except this time it was known as Calvary or Golgotha. It was there on that same mountain that God, he gave his one and only son. But this time he plunged the knife as Jesus dies on a cross for you and me. And so God at that moment at Calvary's cross, he goes all in for you and me. And now the question is, are you going to go all in with God? For the record, I just want to share, I'm not proud of this moment, but man, early as a believer, I just wanted fire insurance. I just didn't want to go to hell, but I wasn't all in with God. I was like, God, you can have some of me, but I still want to do this, 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 and this. And if I could tell you, my life was just insecure all over the place. And so until I'll share with you the NHL draft, I was rated to go 12th overall in the first round. I'd come pushed all my life to this one pinnacle moment. And do you know what? I was passed over and wound up going 39th overall late in the second round. Felt like just a demonstrative failure. But it was there sitting at the NHL draft where I really had this come to Jesus moment. And I was, Lord, I'm screwing up my life being the halfway guy, being kind of a Christian. And it was that moment in Detroit, Michigan at Joe Louis Arena, the NHL draft, where I just pushed all the chips in. And I said, God, I'm going all in with you. Show me what you got. And so do you know that there's a man in your Bible? He's actually in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's just known as the rich young ruler, right? And he has this question for Jesus. He says, what do I have to do to get heaven? In other words, really what he's asking, how little do I have to give of myself and not lose heaven, okay? And so that's his question. And so after some back and forth, Jesus tells him this. He says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And so, so can I translate what Jesus said? He says, rich young ruler, go all in with me, right? And in that moment, the rich young ruler, he pulls back all of his chips. And he says, no, thank you. And here's what I know as we peer back thousands of years later at the rich young ruler. Here's what we know about him. He's no longer rich. He's no longer young. And he's no longer a ruler. And I just wonder if that rich young ruler, if he could go back and do it all over again, if he would push all his chips in to be with Jesus. I think he would, right? And for the record, Annie Duke in the World Series of Poker, she did have better cards, right? She defeated Phil Hellmuth, won the $2 million prize, and I got news for you. Man, as you go all in with Jesus, man, you are going to win because you have better cards, both for this life and the life to come. And so go all in. And number two is this. Man, if you're going to fulfill God's destiny and purpose for your life, you got to pour it all out. Pour it all out. Colossians 3:23, it's one of my life verses. It's this, whatsoever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatsoever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. In other words, in anything you're doing, man, do it as unto him as a form of worship, as your way of saying, God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. If you are familiar, I've said this before, but did you know that the Hebrew word for work and worship, it's the same word. It's the word avodah, work and worship. And so, man, whether you're working at your 9 to 5 or you're in a Sunday morning kind of worship service, all of it is worship under God. So whatever you do, man, pour all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do it as well and as best you can as unto the Lord, because your life is worship. Pour it all out. Don't hold anything back. And so, sorry, another history lesson, all right? But back in 490 BC, the Greeks were attacked by the Persians. And we get the Greco-Persian War. And as the Persians took to the shores of Greece, man, they were met by Greece's armies. And the Greeks were badly outnumbered. Yet, they rallied and they drove the Persians off of the beaches of Marathon. And there, one of the soldiers, after the victory, Philippides, he ran the 26 miles from Marathon to the capital of Athens, where he announced to the waiting crowds to see if they had won the battle. He announced, "Nike," which means victory, and then he promptly died. And so to commemorate the victory at Marathon and the life of Philippides, they did a 26-mile run that we know today as the Marathon. And so I referenced that. It's funny, we had our children's ministers, Jason and Marge Garcia, they ran the New York City Marathon, I think, for the second time. And here's what's so just kind of confusing and perplexing to me. It's like, if you've ever run a marathon, here's what you're doing. You're doing irreparable damage to your knee joints, to your hip joints, to your back, right? You're going to pound your body and inflict all this pain on yourself. You probably pay money in order to participate in the event. And you do it all so you can suffer for 26 miles, right? And why do we do that? Isn't it crazy? The reason why, there's something soul satisfying and deep about pouring your life into something. It's just something rewarding that money just cannot buy by pouring yourself out, going all out. I lived this. I've told this story a billion and one times, but I played in the longest hockey game ever. It was back in 2000 with the Philadelphia Flyers, and the game lasted. It started at 7:30 at night and it ended at 2:35 in the morning. Okay, and so it was the longest game. We played almost three complete hockey games. But here's what I know: when we won the game, which was great, but here's what was even greater, was the fact that, man, I had poured out every last ounce of energy I had. It was like there was nothing left on the inside of me to give, and yet I could look at my teammates in the face, and there was just this deep sense of gratitude that we have poured our life over, out, and into something. It was deeply, deeply soul-satisfying, and I pray you experience that in your life. Not winning a hockey game, but pouring your life into something. You've been designed to go all out for God. So hold nothing back. So King David, if you remember, before he was king, he was just the shepherd boy who chose to go to battle with the great giant Goliath. And do you remember what he did before the battle? He got, the Bible's clear that he picked out 5 smooth stones, despite the fact he only needed 1 stone to take out the giant, right? Why were there 4 other stones? Well, kind of backstory, the Bible is actually going to tell us that there's actually 4 other giants, they're relatives of Goliath, and then we assume, man, those 4 stones are for his 4 brothers down the road. And so get this. Can you imagine how sad it would be if David just lived his whole life and never shot those 4 stones, never defeated all these enemies, like that God had other victories for him to do, but he just didn't let it rip. There's the great prophet Wayne Gretzky says this, that 100% of the shots that you don't take never go in, okay? And that's true for you. Man, I don't know how many smooth stones God's given you to release into the earth, but man, I pray, man, you let it rip. You take your life and pour your life out, that at the end of time, that you'd be able to look back in the rearview mirror and go, Lord, I left it all out there for you. The great composer, Beethoven, you know, Beethoven had early success as a composer, but then later in life, he started to lose his hearing until he was actually like legally deaf. And so his life started to spiral downward in depression, because who is a composer if you can't hear music? And so he isolated himself, and really he was on the precipice of suicide. But he had this holy, I would say a divine moment, where he recognized the fact, he said that God still had things for him to do, still had music in his heart to give to the world. And so he composed his last symphony while he was deaf. And so on May 7th, 1824, he performed it to a packed crowd. And as the symphony was going, man, here's what's so crazy is when it all ended, that there was the crowd erupted in applause. And I got news for you that, do you know, as you pour out your life, fulfill the good works that God's predestined you to walk in, man, as you do that with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, I got news for you. You too will have a standing ovation, the very applause of heaven, God's approval and joy over your life. And so are you going, pouring all out with your life? So we need to go all in, all out. And here's our third and final point is this. You got to put it all on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, 1 Peter 5:7. It says this, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Not casting some or a little bit. Man, God tells us casting everything, all our care, our worry, our anxiety, we pour it all out on God, for he cares for us. And so I don't know if I mentioned this, but my wife and I, while I was still playing in the NHL, we had a summer home in Detroit on a lake, because who doesn't want to spend their summers in Detroit? but I at our lake, we had a couple jet skis. And do you know what happens? When you have jet skis, you have a lot of friends, right? People want to come over, use the jet skis, play on the lake. So we had friends come over with their daughter, and their daughter was so excited to go on the jet ski. And these jet skis were secured in the lake by two massive cinder blocks that were connected to chains, and we hooked up the jet skis. And so she climbed aboard the jet ski. She unhooked the front cinder block and didn't know that there was a rear cinder block. And so she's just like putt-putting through this lake, and you can see all the muck getting dredged up behind her. And she yells back to shore. She says, "These jet skis stink." And I wanted to yell back to her, "No, dum-dum, you stink, because you're dragging a cinder block behind your life, and it's not the jet ski's fault, it's your fault." And that's so many of us, dragging all this trash, man, care, concern, worry, fear, all of it, and what, it's there's no joy in your life. And God doesn't want that for you. He says to give it all to me, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so I'm about to really burst your bubble, because many of you are like me, a little bit of a control freak, and here's the reality. You control nothing, nothing, man, but it's all in God's hands. And so, man, use that as a freedom and a lightness to cast all your care and concerns of tomorrow or the results or what if. Man, you just leave those in God's, and you go all in and all out in the day-to-day, and you trust God with tomorrow. Man, we pour it all out on him, for he cares for us. In fact, Jesus is going to tell the parable of the sower, and here he references these different soils, and one's hard ground, one's stony ground, and one's thorny ground, and then there's good soil that produces fruit. And we're called to be a good soil people. And so, man, the hard soil, you know, I get that, and the stony ground, but then he references thorny ground. It's the ground is good, but there's weeds in it that choke off the word of God, and so it doesn't produce anything. So here's what that means. It's like, man, you can do everything right, but yet you can allow care and anxiety. It will literally choke off the power of the word of God, and it'll rob you of joy. It'll rob you of peace. It'll rob you of physical health, right? And so we're to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And to carry that trash and the worries of tomorrow and not throw that off on God is really to choke off joy and the ability to live a fruitful life. my family and I, we were living in Manhattan, just a little small place, and we were going to go up to northern New York to kind of get away, do a camping trip. And so I rented a little Ford Taurus, and get this, man, we crammed my two daughters and their two girlfriends in the back seat, and then we had my wife and I, and my wife had our 110-pound golden retriever sitting on her lap, right? That's, we're trying to cram everybody into this little vehicle. And so my golden retriever is doing what all dogs do, man. He's looking out the window, you know, tongues hanging out, doing that thing. And until suddenly my dog has an epileptic seizure. He's shaking and writhing. I'm like, what in the world's happening to my poor dog? You know, I'm about ready to pull over, and come to find out he wasn't having a seizure. The dog stepped on the window button and it did the window up, and he was choking himself off. And I just described, many of you, that you you don't weed out your life of care, worry, and concern and roll it over on God. And what you're doing, you're choking off joy, life, goodness, peace, contentment. You're just choking it all off for your life, and God doesn't want that for you. And so I'm going to close with this last way is, it's so funny, man. I always tell all these hockey stories. Can I just be real? Man, I'm 55 now, dude. I am so unathletic. It used to be a business decision for me whether I was going to block a shot or fight somebody on the ice. We call it a business decision. Do I really want to do this? It's going to hurt and do that. Now for me, a business decision is, man, if I drop something on the floor, I'm so old, man. It's like, okay, do I really want to pick it up? Is it really that? Because I'm like, you know, so that's kind of my world right now. But the reason why I said that, I'm unathletic now, but you know what? I'm so much wiser than I was back in my 20s. And if I could go back in time to my 20-year-old self, here's what I would say. I'd say, bro, man, work really hard. Man, pour out, and anything you do, don't be the halfway guy. Man, you go all in. And then I would say this, have fun. Man, laugh a lot. Enjoy the journey. Man, that's what I would tell my younger self. And I think that's what God's telling us today, man. Go all in, go all out, and pour it all on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time and your word. Lord, thank you that you are the all-in God. Lord, that you went all in with us. And God, I pray that we would be an all-in people with you. God, as we push all the chips of our life in, I thank you, Lord. God, that we're going to win because we have better cards and we serve a better God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, come on, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.